Good morning, everyone. So for those that don't know me as well yet, I know Ken's introduced me a little bit, but I'm Adam. I'm about to go into my second year as an ordinand for the United Reformed Church. So I've been a part of this church for just under a year. And before I came here, I worked in Bradford as a youth worker on an inner city estate in Bradford. And spent 10 years working for the church there. And before that, I was in retail. And before that, I worked for Youth for Christ. And before that, I was a chef. So I've had a pretty varying different careers. But now, as I said, I'm training for the ministry. So today, I would like to talk about the four commands and the promise that we get in the Great Commission that was read just now. So from what I can understand from being at St. Andrew's for about a year now, is that the church very much looks outside the four walls of this building and into the community around. This takes place in various different ways, some of which we have already spoken about today. For example, the Sunday evening when we have outreach at the front of the church. I know that there's work done in the universities. I know the local food bank is supported. We have street pastors. We have people working within the police as well as the cafe during the week here. And I'm sure each of us can think of many other places where, as a church, we reach out into the community. Did you know that only about 5% of the population in England and Wales attend church regularly? However, 59% in the last census said they were a Christian. So many more people than attend our churches. About 3 million people attend church, but it is said that about 10 million people access community services that are provided by the church. So we have contact with so many people. And in Scripture, we are told that we have several roles to play in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's start with the first one. And the first one is to go. It's so easy to stand or sit in the comfort of this nice warm building, worshipping God, surrounded by our friends. But God tells each one of us to go and serve him in the big wide world. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes it's hard work. Other times it can be quite sad. But we have a mission to fulfill. I remember when I was first called by God to Bradford. Many emotions went through my mind. Mainly, no way, you can't be asking me to do this. I can't do this. All I had heard about the estate that I was being called to was that about the very difficult place that it was. There's burnt out cars every night. There is high crime rate. There is high unemployment. Parts of Homewood, which is the estate that I worked, are in the top 5% and 1% of deprivation in England. It was at the start of those 10 years, and the local figures say it still is. I lived in Hatfield, a nice middle-class area. But God wanted me to go, so I went. I tested the call first to make sure that I'd heard God right. But then I followed his command. We learn from Jonah that we shouldn't run away from God's will. And that even when things are too big for us, it must mean that we need to trust God more to use and be part of his power rather than our own. The writer Eugene Peterson has written a great book called Under the Unpredictable Plan that explores that how we keep ourselves safe while working, doing God's work, using the story of Jonah. God promises us that he will never send us alone. But we must look after ourselves through worship to keep ourselves close to God. Many times as I was working with young people in Bradford, I wondered how or why I was there and felt like running away to my very own version of Tarshish when I was faced with shootings of young people, or young people who have killed themselves, or young people who have been abused. I often prayed to God to help me. I felt not only that I wanted to be swallowed by a whale, but I wanted to hide in it until the storm had passed and pretend it didn't happen. But I survived each and every time. And now I'm here on the next adventure, ready to see where God sends me next. Where might God be sending you? It could be local. It could be far. But we are all called to go and do the mission of God in the local and international communities around the world. What has God got in his plan for you? So we've looked at go. Now let's move on to the next command, and that is to make disciples. This, for me, is the exciting part. This is where we can have a personal relationship with Christ. I'm not sure how I would have coped if we how any of us would have coped if we remove Christ from our lives. Sometimes part of the church miss this part out. It's all about going and doing social action part that we heard about earlier. About feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, visiting the sick and those in prison. All of these are good. So much so that it was actually a big part of the mission of Christ. However, if that's all we do, then how are we any different from any other charity or person who loves the community? Evangelism is the counterpart, in my opinion, to the Great Commission. The Great Commission, of course, comes from worship. Evangelism comes from worship. And it is through and with the worship of God that we go and love our God and our neighbours. Evangelism without the love is no good. And we hear in James 2, 14 to 19 this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of them says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We have an amazing story to tell of a God who loves each one of us and wants to walk this challenging life with us. I'm not sure why we wouldn't want to shout that from the rooftops. Why do many of us, including myself, find proclaiming the life-giving and life-changing gospel to everyone we meet so hard? St. Francis of Assisi gives us some guidance, which may help, who is said to have once instructed his followers to preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. It's not always about the words, although sometimes they are, of course, needed. But it's about ensuring that the gospel is preached. When I'm out with street pastors, we don't see our job as trying to convert everyone. We don't talk about our faith unless we're asked. However, so many times we're asked to pray for someone, or we're asked about why are we out at 3 a.m. in the pouring rain, looking after someone who happens to be vomiting all over the place. And we're sometimes even asked for a Bible. We have a great story to tell, one of salvation and hope. Are there times when you have walked away from a situation thinking, why didn't I invite that person to church? Why didn't I offer prayer? Is there a risk when we reach heaven and God says, I sent them to you. Why didn't you tell them about me? How is God asking you to be part of making disciples. Let's ensure that we show love, but also preach the gospel. So let's move on to the third command. We've looked at go, make disciples of all nations, and now thirdly we're told to baptize. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This includes welcoming them into the family of church. In John, we hear about the baptism of Jesus. It says that at the time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as John was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now how amazing is it to think that God says that last part to each one of us when we're baptized. That you are my son or daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the public confession of faith in and commitment to Jesus Christ. It is the next step after salvation through repentance and faith, and is an important foundation of the Christian life. In Mark it says, Jesus said, "Go into the world, preach the gospel to all creation, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now, of course, there is a lot of debate about how and when baptism should be. Child or adult, full immersion or sprinkling of water on your head. That's a whole different sermon. But what is important is that you are baptized into the family of God. It's been so special to be part of St. A's and seeing so many young people having committed their life to God through baptism. And I hope while I'm here, there will be many more to come. Maybe you have yet to make that commitment. Maybe someone you know needs to take that step, and you might be part of that journey. But what I can say is now is the time to make that decision and be baptized. So we've looked at go. We've looked at making disciples. We've looked at baptized. And now the final part, and that is to teach. Do we ever stop learning? Has anyone ever, or does anyone, fully understand this book? How many of us have read it all? I will have finished the first Bible in a year at the end of this year. However, I have not in any way fully understood it. Even doing a degree in theology, you will not fully understand it. It will not give you all the answers. I know people who have done doctorates on one psalm or even one verse of the Bible, and I'm not sure even they can say that they fully understand it. There is so much to learn, and that is part of our mission, to help each other discern what God is saying in the Bible and to each one of us. I mentioned just how baptism could be a sermon in itself, as could all four of the commands that we have already looked at. And not even just a sermon, but I'm sure you could probably spend years studying what each of them mean. I don't believe it's the job of the preacher to tell you the answers. That's for each one of us to work out. I'm just telling you what I believe God is telling me through the texts. It's a journey of learning that we're all on, and I hope a journey that we can all explore together and help each other. For me, I only became aware that the Bible was a book to study, and I needed to discern and look and investigate myself what it means about 5 years ago. I thought before that whatever the minister or preacher said was fact, and that's it. That's the end of the story. Now, I'm not saying that what Jim tells us, or anyone else that stood here, is wrong, as I hope that everyone who stands here is speaking the inspired word of God. However, what I am saying is check things out for yourself, just like we do in the home groups. Now, by the way, Ken's already said about the home group, and if you're not in one, I highly recommend you do. It's great fun. But the Word of God is exciting and challenging, and I find it even more exciting the more I study it. This isn't about a one-time hear the sermon and just get on with life. The Bible to me is our guidebook, the inspired Word of God. Always check whatever you hear is biblical. Now, Matthew, in today's scripture, and Jesus went to ensure that we have discipleship that we all need. A continued study of and discernment of the scriptures and support of the wider body of Christ. How do you need to respond to the commands to teach? Do you need to maybe join a home group or a Bible study? Can you help people study God's word? So, we've heard go, we've heard about making disciples, to baptize and to teach. Now, God gives us a promise in return, and that he is on this journey with us at all times. He understands that his commission is not an easy one. There will be many challenges ahead. God may be asking you to go into difficult places to spread the gospel. We only have to look at the early church and see the challenges that Paul had with his mission to see that it's not a straightforward path. But no matter if we are sent to Bradford, to Uganda, or even to Ely, God will never leave us to fend for ourselves. I'm sure many of us have heard about the Footprints poem, as it shows what it means to have for us to have Jesus walking alongside us and carrying us through the tough times. I'm glad that God was with me when I watched my little sister die a few years back, or I don't know how I would have coped. Many people have asked me how I can believe in a God that allowed my sister to suffer so much. And my answer is, and will always be, I don't know how I would have coped watching my sister suffer without the love of God and the church by my side. I'm glad that God was with me when I drove a 4x4 van for the first time off-road, half an hour by myself, when I went to preach to a little village Ugandan church. They didn't speak any English. Everything was translated. Or else, if I didn't do that, and God wasn't with me, how would I have had the opportunity to pray for nearly 100 people that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time? I'm glad that God was with me when I led an evangelistic youth event when I was in my early 20s, or else I think I'd have run away when 150 young people came, when I was actually only expecting 15. I'm glad God was with me when I've had to deal about hearing young people I work with ending their lives. And this actually includes a 20-year-old lad who I was contacted about, who committed suicide when I was writing this sermon. Life is tough, but God is bigger. I'm sure that we all have stories to tell where we have relied on God's strength as it's too big for us to do alone. Often we wait far too long and far too late to rely on God. One of the interesting questions that I was asked when I was preaching in Uganda is that how comes in Uganda we have nothing but trust and worship God, but in the UK, you have everything but don't all worship God? An interesting question that I will leave you all to think about how you might reply. So to conclude with some questions I've posed. Questions that I'm asking myself, but may be helpful for you at where you're at. Where is God calling you to go? How can you be more confident in sharing the gospel through word and actions? Do you or someone you know need to take the next step and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How can you learn more from the scriptures or help teach someone? And finally, do you need to remember better to have God as number one in your life rather than just an afterthought? If you would like someone to pray with you about these, then please come and chat with me or one of the prayer team. But right now, let's have a moment of silence to reflect on what God is saying to each one of us, and then I will pray.